see politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Can you believe it?
It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
Welcome to it. Winning Cures Everything. That's right. I'm your host, Gary Seegers. You can follow me on Twitter or X at GaryWCE. Hopefully everybody's having a good Wednesday thus far. This is the Wednesday morning drive-in show. Hopefully you're not hearing me readjusting this this headset mic, but if you are, this is exactly what I said it is. It is the drive-in show. I record this in the car on the way to work, and we have a good time doing it. So if you've not already, subscribe to the show. That would certainly help us out over here. It is a one-man show. It's just me. I edit all of this stuff. I handle this whole thing. So, welcome if you are new. If you are an old hat, cheers to you. Cheers to you. We've been doing this for a long time. This podcast has been up since 2016. It has had many different iterations, and we appreciate you for being here. Okay, let's... A lot of college basketball going on, but this is a college football show, and so we are going to stick to college football. But we'll start off with a, you know, let's say a little bit of college basketball. And topic number one on the show today is interesting, to say the least. Dartmouth men's basketball, their team voted 13-2 to unionize. Now, I'm sure that some of you are probably asking, like, what does that have to do with anything? This is a step towards college athletes becoming employees of the schools in which they attend. And that's a big deal, right? The school, Dartmouth, absolutely shredded the NLRB. That's the National Labor Relations Board. It just annihilated them in their response to this. The Dartmouth admins said that the NLRB's decision to allow a union election was unprecedented, unwarranted. They accused the director of that board of exceeding her authority by creating a new definition of employee. And let's be fair about this. I understand that even if a business is not making money, you still have to pay your employees. I get that. You can still have employees even if your business is not making money. But these are non-scholarship athletes. In the Ivy League, none of these schools have scholarship athletes. On top of that, they averaged 675 people per basketball game. They only had 12 basketball games. If we're being generous and we're saying that every one of those people paid $20 to get in, you're looking at like $160,000. We're not talking anything crazy. Like, it's not like there's some... This is where these schools and these conferences need Congress to step in. It is for these smaller schools to protect them, because otherwise, these conferences are going to move down to club level. If you think about some of these G5 football programs, they do not make a bunch of money. And the amount of money that it costs to get in, not only to get in, but just to actually, you know, uniform the team, make sure that you've got enough coaches on staff, enough trainers, enough medical personnel, all of these different things. I mean, it costs a fortune. And if the cost of the scholarship to the school is no longer, I guess, worth it, maybe that's the correct word, if that's not going to be enough, you're going to have a lot of programs that just cut ties. they'll cut the sports programs before they get into the business of having to pay college athletes. And it's terrifying. Marvin Kaplan, he was the only member of that four-person NLRB board who disagreed, and he believes that they should not have allowed the election because there's going to be a ton of appeals, etc. And he believes that this thing is going to get overturned because it was unprecedented. You know, they did this with Northwestern back, you know, over a decade ago. And the NLRB board at that point said, yeah, like, this is unprecedented. We've never done this before, and we're not going to start now because this is absurd. Like, there has to be a different way. I mean, you're at Dartmouth. Like, there is no money for athletics at Dartmouth. Like, it's just, it's wild. It's not like these Ivy League schools don't have, like, huge endowments and whatnot if they wanted to go and be big-time athletic programs, but that's not what they're focused on. They've never been focused on athletics, and I don't know why they would start now. I think they would just as soon cut it as opposed to keep it. Now, it's great for team building. It's great for morale. It's great for school spirit and all that kind of stuff. It gives students something to go do, and it gives students that go to that school, something else to do at the school. You can compete at Dartmouth. You have a chance to do something else. I don't blame them for electing to unionize. Like, I don't blame them at all for that. But when you really look into the numbers, it was never going to make sense. It was never going to make sense. Malcolm Gladwell has a podcast called Revisionist History. I'm sure that some of you have listened to this before. And he has an episode, and I don't remember what it's called. I'll have to go back and find this. But he gave a speech at Penn where he was asking why the school plays football. And, you know, Penn has played football for over 100 years. But with all the new findings on CTE and all this kind of stuff, especially understanding how dangerous the sport of football is now, there are schools that, you know, I think would be willing, especially if it ended up costing them just a fortune, they would be willing to cut football. And I don't understand why it has to go down this path. I don't get it. I think that there should be different levels. There are some, there's a small percentage of athletes in the country that should potentially be considered employees, but I don't know. Are you still an employee of a team if you're on a club team? Well, no. Like, that, it's ridiculous. And so, I don't know. We'll see what, I mean, this stuff is gargantuan. It's so huge. And here we are. Here we are. We'll see what ends up happening with it, but just rough stuff. Topic number two. On three is reporting that Arch Manning has opted out of the EA College Football 25 game. Now, they're saying that he wants to just focus on football, like on playing football on the field. That's what the report says. Okay, all you have to do is sign a piece of paper. You don't have to go through any of the other stuff. Like, I'm wondering if, like, are they worried about what his rating would be? That's a potential thing. But I do wonder if this is worse for Arch Manning than just being in the game, right? Because everybody knows now, hey, you're the guy. You're the one. EA reports that over 10,000 players out of the 11,300 plus, over 10,000 have already opted in so far. Now, the deadline is April 30th. There's still plenty of time for Arch to, you know, change his mind and be in the game, but I don't know why you wouldn't just be in it. I mean, it doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. Like, I understand that the Manning name is huge, and, you know, your uncles are Peyton and Eli, and your granddad is, you know, Archie. But aside from the name, like, why on earth would you not want to be in the game? Like, it just, it doesn't make a ton of sense. And I do wonder if he's going to be pressured into it a little bit. Very, very curious about that. But, yeah, cheers to EA for getting over 10,000 players to actually fill out the paperwork that they need to in order to be in this game. Trying to get that many, like, students to do anything, like, fill out any kind of paperwork, you know, go online and click any kind of, I mean, it's almost like pulling teeth. It is nearly impossible to get that many of them to do it. And we've still got, you know, a month and a half until the deadline. So I would imagine they're going to get 96-97% of all the players to actually sign up for this. So cheers to them. Cheers to them for that. Topic number three here. West Virginia signed head coach Neil Brown to an extension. And my first thought was, like, what are they doing? He had one good year against a mediocre schedule, and they had some very lucky wins in there. And why would you sign this man to an extension? Because it didn't have dates or anything like that. But then when you see that it's only for 1 year, well, okay. Then, okay, that makes sense. Because now you extended him one more year. You've got four years now left on his contract. That's basically a recruiting class. So you can guarantee kids that are coming in that your coach is going to be there for all four of your years. You know, and not granted, some of them are playing 5 and 6 years now, but you can guarantee them that for 4 years, their coach will be there. Everybody knows the gig. Everybody knows what's up. But I did find this interesting. Ren Baker, the AD at West Virginia, in his release, he called this a contract amendment. And that had me very curious, because I do wonder if Neil Brown gave up a little something in order to get the extension. Now, I don't think that Neil Brown ever intends to lose. I don't think that he intends on having losing seasons or anything like that. And we have seen coaches do this in the past, right, where you get your extension, but your buyout gets cut. So I do wonder if he signed this extension, you know, was the contract amended to where the buyout is not as much as it would have been? That's what I'm curious about. So, at the end of the day, I think this was a smart move by West Virginia. Ren Baker is a good athletic director. Like, I think that he did a very good job here, and this has been a very trying time at West Virginia. Don't forget about the Bob Huggins stuff that happened back over the summer, you know, before basketball season and all that kind of stuff, because you had a Hall of Fame basketball coach, and you were expected to be at least a somewhat competent basketball team, and now, I mean, that program is shell-shocked. You needed something good to happen in football, and they won 9 games. Like, that's awesome. They did good things. But the schedule this year, whew. And we all know, with college football coaches, once you are on the hot seat, you never get off the hot seat. So while he may have done good things last year, those football fans will not forget. They don't forget. He will always be on the hot seat, because as soon as he ends up starting like 2-4 in a season, they're going to be calling for his head. And so we'll see what this ends up looking like, but I'm excited about it. Cheers to Neil Brown. I like him as a coach. I do think that situation was incredibly difficult, but I think that he has done pretty good things there, and I think he will continue to do pretty good things there. All right, let me tell you right quick, you guys know tickets are expensive. We're not going to spend all day on this, but TicketSmarter.com is where you need to go to get your tickets. TicketSmarter.com. Use the promo code WCE10. It's going to get you $10 off an order of $100 or more. Use WCE20. That's WCE20. That's going to get you $20 off an order of $300 or more. Tickets to everything are expensive. You got the NCAA tournament coming up. You got conference tournaments coming up. Football season is right around the corner. And then you've got all these concerts, music festivals, all this kind of stuff. Ticket Smarter can get you there. So do yourself a favor and save some money. Think smarter. Ticket Smarter.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
All right, topic four, the date has been set for the first hearing in Florida State's case against the ACC, and that date is April 9th in the Leon County Courthouse. The Honorable Judge John C. Cooper will be overseeing this situation here. We already know that the ACC, their first hearing against Florida State, for their lawsuit against Florida State, is March 22nd in North Carolina, so you know, at the end of this month and at the beginning of April, we are going to have a little bit more clarity on the situation with Florida State trying to leave the ACC. I do wonder if any of this will... I wonder if the CFP stuff, right? Moving to 14 teams, the ACC getting two bids, blah, 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 blah. If any of that stuff comes to fruition, what is that going to mean for the ACC? Are more teams going to want to leave? Is Florida State going to think that it is better for them to leave if they have that much access? Because in the real world, Florida State, if they've got people that are this willing to buy themselves out of the ACC, theoretically, they should have enough money to fund this football program for a long, long time. There's so much stuff going on with the ACC. There's just so much stuff there. There's so many questions that need to be answered with this. The lawsuit, the hearings, and whatnot, I think are going to be very, very interesting. And we'll see how the CFP and all that stuff plays into it. But, again, it all comes down to money. Florida State's trying to leave for more money, and I get it. I totally get it. Topic number five, Steve Spurrier has got questions about Billy Napier. And if Billy Napier wasn't already up against it, this is just brutal. Having the head ball coach talk to Gene Frenette of the Florida Times Union, his quote was pretty telling. Remember, Steve Spurrier is an employee of Florida. He is like an ambassador. He has an office in the football building, which I don't know why you would do that. At the same time, Alabama's going to have Nick Saban around, but he just left. Steve Spurrier hadn't coached at Florida in 2 decades. It's been forever. I don't know why they would do this to themselves, but, we shall see. We shall see. But his quote in this situation is, his quote here was, there's a feeling around the Gators of what the heck are we doing? It says there's a lot of questions I don't have the answers to about organization. And then he told him, just because you hire the most people doesn't mean you're going to win. When you got Steve Spurrier questioning you, that's not a good thing, because there are a ton of Florida fans that will follow Steve Spurrier to the frickin' moon. So, if you were already trying to build any kind of goodwill, you're not gonna get it now. It makes it that much more difficult. So, if Steve Spurrier was trying to help the situation, obviously he was not. And that's, I do wonder if that's something that Spurrier, if he sees what's going on there and realizes, oh, this guy doesn't have a clue, we're gonna have to get rid of him. This is a quick way to get that done. Because there's just, on paper, looking at the roster, looking at what they've got compared to what their schedule is, and while everybody should take a snapshot and just understand what's happening, if the Gators are competent and they are competitive in these games and they'd still go 5-7 or 6-6 or whatever, I still think it might be worth keeping him around because I think that Billy Napier's a good coach. But I just – I don't – this is the death knell, it feels like. This seems like the end of the road for Billy Napier because when you got the legendary former ball coach, the Heisman Trophy player that played there that works in the building and he's questioning what you're doing with the organization, that's a problem. And that's going to be a huge, huge issue. So, cheers to Billy Napier. Maybe you can figure things out. But, man, I would not want Steve Spurrier questioning me in the media. I know that. Topic number six here. Oh, by the way, if you haven't already, like the videos, if you would. You can be a member on YouTube. It's $2.99 a month. You can watch me driving into work and talking about this. You can see how much of a mess it is, but I do enjoy it. I get to actually do more podcasts during the week, so that's a lot of fun. Number six, topic number six. Arkansas redshirt sophomore, let's try that again. Arkansas redshirt sophomore offensive tackle Andrew Chambly has left the team. Now, you don't exactly see this all that often. He is not entering the transfer portal. He's not wanting to go play somewhere else. He just decided that he wants to be a regular student. And I got to tell you, I don't remember the last time I've seen this. This kid was an all-SEC freshman team member last year. Did great things for them. They were really planning on leaning on him. And Sam Pittman told Trey Biddy and those guys that cover Arkansas, said that Andrew just lost his love for the game, and he just wants to go back and be a regular student. Now, this leads to so many questions, right? Would it be different if he was not at Arkansas? I mean, he's a homegrown kid. He's from that state. But the Arkansas program was down so bad last year. And going into this offseason, there's been so many coaching changes and all this kind of stuff, right? They've got a new offensive line coach. How much does that impact this? Or is it possible that sometimes kids just really want to be kids? Being an SEC football player is a job. This goes back to that employee thing, right? It is a full-time job. You do not have time to go and get another job, to go and do something else, because there is so much that is expected of you. Now, granted, you can do the NIL stuff and whatnot now, but even still, trying to fit that in between workouts and all your nutrition stuff, and then you've still got your classes. Don't forget about those. You've got so much going on. Like, this kid might have just had some friends and wanted to hang out at the dorm and play video games. I mean, I understand that. That's what I did in college. So I couldn't imagine. But now, I had a job. It was a part-time job, but I had classes and a job, and I was the editor of the school newspaper, the college newspaper. Used to be called the Ranger Rocket when I was down there. I don't know what it's called now. But I was the editor of that paper. So you're writing articles, you're going out and taking pictures, and you're doing, like, there was a lot going on. Imagine trying to live just a normal college life and being an SEC football player. I mean, this kid was a four-star. Like, this is what he was supposed to do, and then you get there and you realize, this is not how I want to spend my time. I don't have to go fight to be an NFL tackle. This isn't the kind of job that I want. I want to do something else. I don't blame him. So, just weird to see, because you don't really see players just quit that often. And people have such an issue with the word quit. But, like, look, he quit playing football. There's nothing wrong with that. So I don't see any reason why he should be whatever the word is I'm looking for. He shouldn't be taken to task over this. You know, he's doing what he wants to do. And cheers to him for doing that. Let's see. Oh, real quick, subscribe to the podcast if you've not already. If you would, if you like this show, would you share it out with your friends? Tell people about it. We've had really good podcast numbers because I've been putting out more, but there are more people listening now than there were before. And that, maybe that's because I'm being more frequent with this, but I love this. And like I said, you can hop on the YouTube and watch me over there as I'm driving into work. And it's a good time. We have a good time here. Topic number 7. Northwestern, the Wildcats, up in, well, close to Chicago, Evanston, Illinois. They are considering a 15,000 to 20,000 seat temporary stadium on Lake Michigan. And I talked to my boys from the Westlot Pirates about this yesterday a little bit. And they have done a feasibility study on this. And if you haven't already seen the Waste Management Phoenix Open, the 16th hole there, they build this on that golf course, and it is a temporary structure, but it looks awesome. And they're talking about doing this for Northwestern on Lake Michigan, right? They were going to have to play Northwestern games somewhere else for like the next two seasons. They're already doing stuff at Wrigley Field, some, but trying to work with, you know, Soldier Field, Wrigley Field, it's at all these pro situations. That's not how this works. So it was always going to be kind of tough. So my thought process here was, yeah, why would you not just build your own thing? That's what I'm looking for. So I think this would be absolutely amazing. I think it would create such a really cool home field advantage in these situations. So I, you know, if only 15 to 20,000 people, you don't have to have like some kind of VIP skybox or whatever for the next couple of years. This could be easy. Like, I love this. I love this. And the views on Lake Michigan, I think there would be even more people that try to come in. You might could charge more for your football games. And maybe it would help keep out some of those Ohio State fans that come in. So I'm a huge fan of this. I think it's unlike anything that we have seen in college football in a long time. Hawaii's doing stadium renovations down there, and they're having to play in basically a high school football stadium, like through 2026 or something like that. Like, there's 3,000 people, and nobody comes out there because why would you, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. So Northwestern, I think this is a great idea. This would be destination for the next 2 years for people to come up and see the views and see the situation, see what you've built. I think it's great. Cheers to it. Cheers to Northwestern. They got things going in the right direction with David Braun. So long as the people in charge actually do the right stuff here, make the right decisions. Like, give the people what they want. Let's do it. That's a small school anyway. I love this idea. All right, topic number 8. This will be the last one that we hit on tonight, or today, excuse me. It's morning time, 8:56 a.m. Central as we speak. Jim Williams. Y'all remember my buddy Jim, contributor over at Forbes. Great guy. Has been all in on this realignment stuff. Jim feels like he has got the ACC realignment stuff picked. Now, this is all hypothetical stuff, but he seems to have the inside track on a lot of stuff. He was pretty dead on with the Pac-12 stuff, right? He said, if Florida State wins their lawsuit against the ACC and they find a way to get out of the conference, and then you have North Carolina, Clemson, and this one surprised me, Louisville leave the conference, which I don't know why they would, but either way, there might be a lot of people leave the conference if ESPN decides not to renew at the same rate at the end of 2027. But regardless, we're saying that Florida State, North Carolina, Clemson, and Louisville are the schools that end up leaving the ACC. He said that the ACC should and likely would backfill with these schools. UConn, that makes absolute perfect sense. Oregon State, again, you've already got Stanford and Cal. Yeah, makes sense. Same thing with Washington State. Again, Stanford, Cal, and Oregon State in this situation. So you would have four Pac-12 teams. And then you bring in Memphis and South Florida from the AAC. So you're losing four schools. And that takes you back down to 13 football programs. And then you add five. And that brings you up to 18. Which is the same number as the Big 12, or Big 10, excuse me. Big 12, I think it's at 16 right now. Okay, this makes sense. UConn totally aligns academically. Same thing with South Florida, Washington State, and Oregon State. Yes, academically pretty much aligned with what Stanford and Cal are doing. They're not on the same level, but still, they have shared a conference before. It's not that crazy. You don't have North Carolina, Florida State, Clemson, or Louisville in the conference anymore, so you're going to want some football and some basketball programs that know what they're doing. You know, Memphis and South Florida know what they're doing. UConn basketball, for sure, would help shore up the ACC to, you know, keep Duke and whoever else in there, Miami and whatnot. I think this works. Like I think that it works. I'm not totally against it. So we'll see. But you know, go hit up Jim. Go hit up Jim. I like what he's thinking here. These are all incredible thought exercises, right? Trying to figure out what makes the most sense for these conferences to do, and everybody loves predictions. So I have not made mine yet, but I will. No worries. No worries. Oh, last thing before we end this thing. South Florida, no, that's not what I wanted to hit on. Sorry. We just talked about Northwestern. So Mike Bajakian was the offensive coordinator at Boston College before he came over to Northwestern. He finally got the handcuffs taken off of him this year with David Braun as the head coach, right after Pat Fitzgerald was let go in July. And the offense was pretty awesome. Now, I understand David Braun wanted to bring in his own guy. He's got a way that he wants this football program built. But Mike Bajakian was without a job. Now, I like Mike Bajakian. But the fact that Utah was able to hire this man as an analyst is almost borderline criminal. I would imagine he's going to get picked up somewhere next year. But he's going to be an analyst for Utah's football team going into the Big 12. And I think it's genius. I think this is a monster hire for them to have that guy scheming up in the background for your football team. So cheers to Utah for hiring Mike Bajakian. What an awesome, awesome situation there. All right. It's time for us to get out of here. Go follow me on Twitter or X at GaryWCE. You can reach out on email if you're old school, Gary@winningcureseverything.com. And of course, subscribe to the show. Tell your friends about it, all that kind of stuff. With that said, let's do this thing. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, @GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@winningcureseverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.